Welcome to the My Name is Human Earth 2.io podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. I am Human Hazy.
I am Human Kagi.
And I am Human Snoke.
And today we have a special guest, Kathleen. I said that correctly? Yes.
Yes. Hey.
All right. How are you doing, Kathleen? Kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you came from, and how you got into Earth 2.
Yeah, well, I'm in the marketing and communication business. I work for retail companies and brands in Romania. I'm from Romania, and I'm doing end-to-end digital, like from platform development to marketing, advertising, sales, processes, everything. And spend most of my time in calls. So during one call in December, I saw an ad on Facebook with this concept of virtual land selling or something like that. It was not an ad. I think it was this guy from, I think from Alpha Kingdom, Jonah.
He's
doing the, yeah. And I said, okay, let's click this and see what this is about. And I was in.
Well, that's since you say it like that, how long did it take you to buy your first property from when you clicked on the Facebook post? And what did you buy?
I bought Manhattan tiles, US tiles, of course. I think I sold them already. But it took me like 10 minutes because the deposit went through rapidly. I mean, it was PayPal back then, and I was click, and money were in, and then I kept buying. So
couldn't stop.
It's addictive. It's like a Pringles potato chip.
You can't just have one. Exactly. So, how did you get into AGV, which is Alkara Global Venture, and what is the mission of AGV?
AGV was first, we started a WhatsApp group. When I joined the Earth 2 Discord, the Earth official Discord had like 300 users. So we were very few people in the Discord. And some of us connected in the general chat and said, okay, let's do you have a WhatsApp and let's have a group and let's have a group of millionaires in 2 years and stuff like that. And this is when I met Alessandro, Hoster Jack, in general chat. He's a mod on the Earth 2 Discord. And we said, okay, guys, we were like four guys and said, okay, let's build a community and let's attract only people that are like us, that we can have conversations around conspiracies and how price works and the mathematics behind and where Earth 2 should be and so on, because we were very hyped on the tile buying thing. Yeah. And then AGV started to grow. We have around the round table, smart people, very engaged with building tools, doing analysis, judging everyone, trash talking about Shane.
I think every private group does that.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah. And now we are, regarding the mission, we avoided having a statement about what is the mission of our group, because we know almost nothing about what Earth 2 will be in near future. I'm not talking about few years. I'm talking about 3 months from now. Even though now I could say that in 3 months from now it might not be very different from what it is right now. But we didn't rush into creating a statement, a mission, something. So we were focusing on sharing the knowledge. We did the math behind the price calculation. We started building tools to scrape some data that was available in the API and have some statistics and think about stuff. And mostly engage in these types of conversations, no other, no hate speech or no, the chat is almost silent for the most of the time, but when something happens, we have like programmers, developers, we have finance people, we have business management, creative people giving opinions on what happened, what should be next, and so on. So if I would take a if I can say something about the mission, I think we try to build knowledge and share it among the community and give back to the community something that they can rely on in the gameplay.
So that brings up a good point. You talk about this very smart group of people that have a lot of thought going into Earth 2. What right now is the collective group thinking of where Earth 2 stands?
We're a bit down right now. I mean, you've made a very clear list of things that were promised or mentioned and not delivered. So,
sorry to be Debbie Downer.
But the conversation is mostly around what the hell are they doing there? Because we understand how software development works in general, in big projects, yeah, in big businesses. I come from e-commerce and right now I have a project of migrating one of the biggest retailers in Romania, in do-it-yourself retailers, from a custom platform to a e-commerce platform, a CMS, dedicated CMS. It's a huge project and I understand how it works or how it should work. We also have knowledge on how things should be done, what we see, because we see what it's on the website and how they respond to certain questions, we are in the zone of what the hell are they doing there? Why aren't they testing, for example? Or how do they prioritize things? How, and these are the questions right now. And then there are the discussions that when we have time, we also pick up on this about sustainability of the price system. Where do they go with buying new land? Because buying new land might be somehow prohibitive in the future, considering the way that the price increases for the new land. How do they fix the borders for different countries, international countries? We saw that now they shifted the map, so some tiles, some properties down in the south or up in the north are not accessible anymore. You cannot buy there near them, and so on. So there are different bugs coming from different parts of their architecture, of their product, that we see that are not addressed in any way. So what are they doing? This is the main topic right now.
Yeah, and that's definitely something I think we've talked about many times, and it's definitely a frustration source for many people. Something I did want to ask you about was you recently wrote an article for E2.News, shout out Toba and Zeus, regarding e-commerce and how Earth 2 must facilitate e-commerce. Kind of describe what your vision for e-commerce is a bit and whether the Earth 2 team is capable of delivering the vision as you see it.
First of all, I took off the context for the subject, for the e-commerce subject, the fact that they are a game, that they plan of creating a game, because that game might take some more time to be a complete game and to actually call it a game and look at it as a game and so on. But what they have in this brilliant idea, if you ask me, it's probably the best idea that I saw on the internet in recent time. They have this virtual land trading idea they've put in a platform where people come and create value by engaging with it, because it's nothing of value, intrinsic value right there, right now. You know, so I thought that, okay, you have the promises of a bigger thing and you have this thing that now is transactional. And I thought, okay, let's talk about e-commerce. and I wrote the article, and my idea is that if they are slow, and right now we know they are slow, they need something to keep the community engaged in using that platform, in buying tiles, in exchanging properties, ideas, build the mega cities and so on. And to do this, they need to do it in a similar way that an e-commerce website does it, right? So you have the products on a website and you need to get people on board on your website to buy from you. And from the marketing perspective, it's basically having the content, convincing the people that they are on the right place, that the brand is solid, that the product service that they are selling, it's transactional, it makes sense for a future action that you may have, because right now you are buying tiles, but you don't really know what to do with them in the future. We know now, we know some things, but we don't really know actually, because Jules, for example, were in existence until they announced it, you know? So this lack, how to say it, the gap between what we see, what we understand, and what they are thinking about is usually filled with content, with what brings value to what you use as a service in our platform, with the community management, with correct direct marketing, you know, it's like sending emails, putting some context in, hey guys, for example, Black Friday, I don't know, do they have a Black Friday event set up? Because they sell something, they sell types, right? So,
right, yeah. They did something for Easter, so, you know, why not do something like that?
Yeah. Yes, but for Easter was game-ish, like, you know, it was
right
connected with another concept, the concept of the phase three, where all they have is these shots in the game, in the rendering, in the terrain system. I'm not a gamer, so I might use some words that
so a traditional public relations firm is typically focused on marketing. So do you think the new PR firm is going to help drive this e-commerce vision that you kind of see? Because I don't see them as being what I think they actually need, a kind of liaison between the public and the development team. I think Vicarious is actually going to be more about marketing. So do you think they're going to help in that matter?
For me, public relation is not necessarily marketing. So my expectations from hiring a PR firm were, okay, they want to have a very clear process on how they communicate with the community and how they do the community management in a whole. And I thought that this was, and I still think that this is the main role of the PR firm. I don't know what they're doing because, yeah. Marketing, though, what they need to do to keep their customers in the platform, buying, trading, bidding, and also on the other non-commercial part, come up with ideas, suggestions on how to improve, how to do, guys, report bugs on, and so on. That part is not really PR for me. That is done, it's strategized, is okay, how do you communicate the roadmap that we all expect to see as a roadmap, yeah, announced by them? Invite users to give opinions, do the user experience, user interface. A few weeks ago, we saw something in the source code about car rental or something, references in the code. So we thought, oh, come on, they are using a template. It was an idea, you know? I'm not saying they do, but it was there. So this means that for a customer-facing product, they don't have a mature process of thinking, okay, what is the brand vision? How does Earth 2 look like? What is the tone of voice? And how do we put that in the screens, in the interfaces, in the messages that we see when we click and we get an error that the country is blocked, or, you know? So that's something that needs to come together as a whole. So, and in e-commerce, this is very important, because in e-commerce, if you want to increase, for example, the conversion rate, the number of people that order from the people that visit your website, usually you work with very tiny things that you improve. You move links one on top of the other, you put, you increase the screen, you put a button in another place and so on. And you test, you see what works and you implement that and so on. So this is, and this is a process. This is a continuous improvement process that you do. And I don't think they have it yet. I think they should think about having it. And yeah, and I don't think that a PR firm can deliver that. At least in Romania and European market in digital services, a PR firm does something. A PR firm helps you with having authority in on topics, for example, that you want to be the first one when people search on Google on SEO, search engine optimization. If you want to be recognized as the content creator for, I don't know, metaverses, what does it need, what does it mean, and so on, you go to a PR firm to help you distribute your content, you know, and teach you how to talk about it in your public appearances. So Google and the AI software understands that you are the owner of that content and you are the most influential in that. But for the users, that's a different story.
And yeah, perhaps the PR firm would recommend something like, don't use the Ready Player One term in your initial pitch to the public. Perhaps.
Was, true statement.
If you go on LinkedIn and you search for the company and just browse through the people that say that work for Earth2, you will find their marketing consultant. There's a freelancer in startups, startup digital services startups, I think in all startups, there's a term, a phase that is happening at the beginning that it's called a growth hack phase. You know, so there is, when you get some funding, you need to accelerate growth and get as many users as you can to kick off and building. I think that the metrics, Ready Player One and investment, everything related, because they had something about invest and earn money and stuff like this. I think this was part of their growth hacking phase that they have. They needed some copywriting and some content on the page to stimulate the people that are trying to find ways to invest, to trade, to crypto, stuff like that, because this was the context when they entered.
Right, and you did see like the registration for users in December was actually crashing at that time because because perhaps the growth hack you're referring to worked. But one thing I did want to ask you about, Cataline, was and you touched on it a bit, but you know, what do you think the potential reasons for some of these delays and slow progress are? Like, what, you know, what, from your perspective, from AGV's perspective, what do you think is causing this? And is it justified that we can't see a lot of visible progress?
So our mind and our assumption is that their core product, or the main thing that they are really good at and that is actually planned, is the face free stuff. The website part, the web development, with what do you need to have a website and how do you design that website to convince people to do stuff, whatever, that I don't think they have any skills on that part. When they started, this was the only product that we saw that they have, not the face free product. And I think that they have big difficulties in understanding what they need. I think that there are a lot of people talking, advising them on what to do, but they don't get it from the first time. So I think this is one thing that generates delays, because everyone goes, okay, we need to put cost on that.
Right. You know, so when they have 1,000 ideals and they're trying, then they're not picking out the ones that actually need to.
No.
They're trying, right. Oh, let's do this, instead of focusing on specific tasks.
Back to your article, Hazy, that you've written, they need a project manager.
they might have one, but they're not actually
doing their job.
They're not actually setting transactional deadlines that they need to implement. No. They're not saying, we have this task, we need it done by this date. If you don't, this is what happens. I don't think they're doing that.
Right.
The iteration thing is very important for the web development. So just because they have a lot of ideas, and when I say they, I mainly mean Shane. Yeah, because I think he has a very big backlog of ideas.
Yep.
That when they started, and now they grew, they have a big team, and those ideas need to be implemented in the backlog. You know, so they need to iterate, and in iterations with their problems, they need to figure out a balance of features and fixes to put in that backlog. So each sprint, each 2 weeks, when we see an update, we need to have some bugs fixed and some features released. Now, regarding the features, and this is also a reason for delaying, I also think that they perceive they have a perception of risk in, for example, releasing the production of all resources. Maybe they have it, I think they have it developed, they tested, and they are confident that they can roll out. But I think that the problem here and why they delayed is because it is not clear, they didn't decide it yet, the next steps, how these resources will be as mechanics, how they will work together and with properties and with everything. So if they release resources right now and then figure out the next part in 6 months, for them that's a risk, because we will sit on resources. The competition, if there are any, they will understand what they want to do, because they will see, and they can reverse engineer the algorithms for generation of, they will see how they use the MSR data for resources, because if we can do it in the community, I think that the companies that focus on this can definitely do it. So they also, I also think that they have this reason to delay, because they are not sure if it's the right time to go live with that. Yeah. Essence and Jules, oh my God, the blockchain and everything, that was a very big mess up. It was a mess, a total mess. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It was a total mess. No. They should have rolled it out as they tested and then replaced it with the thing that it's an opportunity, which is blockchain, of course, and move it to crypto. I don't think that technically, with all the technical depth and also the money that they have, I think there is no problem to put an extra effort and replacing it, but not delayed. So for me, it's kind of weird why they chose to not
I think they kind of had the mindset that they don't like replacing things. They want to put something out and it's going to be that way. So I don't think they like revision.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a good thing. Yeah, you know, it's.
None of us know, because we don't really get to see behind the doors of what they're talking about.
The tactic of improving is testing, failing, and improve. I mean, you need to test to fail, to learn, and so on. So, right now, the learnings come only from critical bugs, critical functionalities that are technical, pure technical, are not, they're not tactical, they're not game related. So I don't think
And this is one thing I argued in my discussion with Shane when I interviewed with them, is that they need a private group of players to help them give feedback on these critical elements. They don't see things from a player's perspective. They see it from a business perspective. So having a group of like 20 key players that can look at this critically, say, look, this works, this doesn't, here's some ideals. They don't have to implement it, but what they need is to be able to take that in and understand what the user base is seeing and how they can implement that into making their game a good fit for what the world wants.
That's something like almost like a focus group.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
In web design, it's user testing. It's called user testing, and it's part of how you design the user interface. You know, you have multiple variants, or you have two options, and you put your customers, people with the profile of your customers, and you ask, you give them simple tasks. You know, it's like, okay, find the product and add it to the basket, or find a property in this budget on the marketplace, for example, and observe how they struggle to, where do I find, where is the what, where is the, you know. Yeah, and the community is great. I mean, there are people with
skills.
very skills, yes, and they spend so much time in the conversations and talk about the mechanics in the game, what could it be, what should it be, and so on. And I think that their input is absolutely valuable. It's
definitely
high value for them. Yeah.
So I want to ask you a question now. If Earth 2 would fail, how and why would Earth 2 fail?
I wrote another article on the E2 News platform. It's called, if I remember correctly, the Shane Impediment. I was involved in two startups. For one, I was a co-founder, and for the other one, I just worked with them in something else than digital. I saw this profile of the visionary leader with the idea that puts too much effort in pushing the idea and very, very little effort in execution. So I think that even though the idea is great, the way that you put processes in place to execute it, this can get you to fail. And I think I don't know Shane. I just chat with them about for two times. He answered to reply two times. It feels like in Earth 2 now as a team, there is a not conflict, but I don't know how to call it. The situation between, I don't know if you know, between business and IT. You know that business and IT have a, they don't get together very well because business wants unicorns and stuff and IT goes and says, oh, it cannot be done. No. It's 2 months of development. No, it's not okay. And definitely. I think that this is exactly where the Shane is with the business, and the teams are the IT in my and they come and say, okay, man, we cannot do that right now. Well, but this is not a good idea because, you know, and I think he pushes and pushes, and this is one thing that could lead to failure. But other not. Not finding this third party skilled companies or people to help out with what you don't know. This is also something that will give you, because you need to move fast. When you are having the funds and a brilliant idea, you need to find people that know more about you in certain areas and bring them on board to help you solve the things. Yep. And we do not see that. I don't see that. The Vicarious firm, okay, this was something that I don't think it was an easy decision for them to pick it up and to hire them, but it was a good move. The community management, I think we'll see some improvements, but they have the heavy stuff. They have the phase one and two that's heavy, and they need to go beyond the idea that they have and the geeky stuff with tiles and resources and lit and so on.
So this wasn't planned, but I kind of want to ask the opposite question. Not why would Earth 2 fail, but why would Earth 2 succeed?
I trust Wolfgang, even though I didn't see him in the chat. So I have a lot of trust in Wolfgang and Nathaniel. They are very talented, and I think they can build teams if they are left. If they are left alone to do it, I think they will build the teams that they need to move forward. Also the community. The community, I think, it's one reason why they will, when they have a, I don't know how to say it in English, when they are going down, I think, if they give something to the community, something they promise even better, I think that's when the community will come back again and lift them up. So
boost their morale.
If they protect the community, it's a go. Yeah.
Yeah, the strongest supporters are definitely quite strong, and if we've seen that Shane can do something as simple as change
it's
the
a
header.
Cult.
He can change the header on his Twitter profile and get folks talking. So, you know, and we can make fun of it or mock the cult claims, but there's no doubt that the community reacts strongly to basically any amount of news. So,
and also, Kengi, if you allow me, also the phase three stuff they have and we don't see, I think that is already a success. If it is how Nathaniel says that they figure out the way to use low resources on a scale like
right the scale everything
and the Unity changing, not building on Unity but changing Unity to be able to build a custom terrain system, that is something amazing, and I think that is a real product that will give them success.
And I'm with you. I think Nathaniel and Wolfgang and the community are the three key aspects, and they need to kind of work together with Shane to push this vision forward. And I think if they do that, it will succeed. The problem is being able to coordinate it, delegate, and do the things that need to get done.
Yes.
So let's transition off the why would Earth 2 fail into a little current event discussion. So let's talk a little bit more about Jules. They continue to come out. It's very inconsistent, so to speak. I definitely am of the very firm mindset that the number of properties is what drives how many jewels you get. I think it's pretty conclusive by now that is the driving factor. Is that what you've seen, Catalin, and the AGV? Is that what they've seen?
We did a probability calculation, but we don't have enough data because we do not know all the jewels generated in all properties across the user base. At the beginning, I mean, there is a correlation between size also, but it depends a lot on how the system generates jewels. And we have a debate right now how it's generated property first. So the property has a chance to generate depending on something. Or they generate it across the map everywhere. And they generate random coordinate pairs. And if a coordinate is in a property, then that property gets a jewel. So it's something like this. This is how we think about it. I'm more a fan of the second one, where they inefficiently generate data across the globe and do the mapping after. But we saw that big properties have a bigger chance to generate one. And then bigger properties are not that common. So there are not many players that have, let's say, 100 properties bigger than 500 tiles, for example. Yeah, you know, so if I run these numbers on my profile or the leaderboard profiles and so on, I will see that a bigger property, like 300 to 500 tiles property, has 36% chances to generate a jewel than the other properties. But in reality, if you compare small profiles, small number of tiles properties, which are more in the user base than the big ones, yes, the bigger the number of properties, the greater the number of jewels. I think also that when the number of jewels started to decrease for bigger profiles, in my case and other players.
Yeah, I mean, mine as well. Well, not that I have a big profile, but yeah.
Willie Malik got one jewel, and he has 70,000 tiles.
Yeah, I got one jewel today for 46,000 tiles, and three jewels for 300 tiles profile. And I thought about Lit. Do you remember Lit when it was not working?
Yes.
And when we skipped days? And I thought, I had this idea yesterday that, oh my God, maybe the algorithm is broken, as it was with Lit, because the decrease in jewels started exactly when they supposedly started fixing bugs and come up with the bug thing and working on it. So I thought that, okay, maybe they did something when they moved to React, they didn't code it properly. It was just an idea. But jewels are random, if you ask me. It's totally random. There is no, even though there's an algorithm and a logic to do it, I think it's made to, Shane said once, to reward the early adopters. So this, I think it's something that will give the existing community some time to collect jewels bigger than when they will start to bring other people on board. And I hope that the next thing that they will release will not be a visual thing. I hope they don't do just a visual thingy on the map.
All right, Kangi. So Shane had a tweet recently that came out just a few hours ago. You kind of want to go over that for us?
Yeah, I think it pairs up well with what we were just talking about. So Shane tweeted, team have been monitoring and fixing issues related to the React update. 13 of 16 issues are resolved and deployed. Due to the positive progress with React, we are aiming to release another phase 2 feature plus additional core platform improvements, automated Know Your Customer, as early as next week. So Kataline, what's your reaction to that? We're talking about timelines here. You know, it sounds like we're pretty close to getting some issues resolved. So what are you expecting to see from that?
From the issue part, I think they refer to the React issues that they have with the front end, not the technical debt that we're discussing earlier.
Right, the list of issues that Thomas has put out.
Yeah, broken yeah, property yeah, links and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I think it's a longer list, so they have a lot of bugs that they move over, like international territory and everything related to with the locked countries and so on.
All right, that's not a feature, right?
I hope it's not a feature to have countries where some players bought with $7 per tile and others with 10 cents. So, I think 2 weeks is a small time frame to approach more than 16 front-end issues that they have with React. I'm expecting the list of Thomas' list to be fixed, and also as a release in phase 2, a phase 2 related release functionality. My take is that they will release something visual, not something functional.
So you think something like the hollow buildings then?
Yes. Something like the picture in the Twitter header.
Interesting. I always kind of thought it would be the crafting of jewels, but I can see with Shane's Twitter background changing to those hollow buildings that you could possibly be right there. So kind of tell me how you think they're going to utilize those hollow buildings on Earth 2 to kind of as the next step.
I think Nathaniel referenced the placeholders for multiple times. So I think this is a mock-up of how buildings will appear and be on dispersed on the properties. And maybe in the future, I don't know, give them some skins or color functionality and make them special or something like that.
So I think it'll be cool if we can actually like design what buildings we put on our property. It'll give users something to do. So if that is the functionality they add, that's a good functionality to add, I think.
Yes. Because we already know that they are a big fan of advertising and they've mentioned revenue from advertising. I think that a visual part, so people to go and see something where they are with the glasses on or whatever the future will bring us, that will be something that people might pay for. I just imagined the Statue of Liberty, and I saw YouTube video with the guys that bought
the South Koreans,
the South Koreans, and I think that if you can get creative with your buildings in your property and not in the functionality of the buildings, because I expect to have something to do inside the build to access services and entertainment and stuff inside. I think that just walking around and see some crazy creative stuff there, this can also be a thing. And it can be related to advertising because you will attract traffic to people to just see your stuff. Yeah.
Kangi, what's your kind of thoughts on those hollow buildings?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one, I would be very excited to be able to see some like true development show up on my property. So that's one thing. I mean, that would be a huge step in the right direction. But I do think that they're basically sort of model representations that we'll be able to use and potentially put skins over and modify in other ways to make them distinct from other people's buildings, which sounds good to me because it sounds like a relatively easy way to construct if that's the way that it's done. Sounds a little more SimCity-ish than maybe me having to learn how to be a computer programmer, but there's a lot left to be seen there. So, Snoke, do you have any thoughts on the hollow buildings?
You know, when I first saw the image, I was kind of a little worried because when I think of buildings, this is something else that hasn't really came up, hollow buildings, before until just recently. And when we saw the picture on Shane's Twitter head, I was like, okay, they're just blue squares. And I remember going back to like the Earth 2 Terrain video and the Easter egg hunt where they had those buildings that popped up. Like, that's the buildings I want. And so I was kind of, well, like, okay, I hope, like you just said, you know, that you can build a skin over it or something like that. But that's my hope for it.
So I actually saw someone linked an article in the Gen Chat yesterday where they use hollow buildings as the framework for doing very intricate and in-depth designs on buildings using other software. So yeah. I think that might be where this is leading, and that's my hope at least, because you're right, I don't want the buildings to just be those little blue squares. If it was just that, I would be a little bit disappointed.
And also I think that everything will be API ready for developers, so giving these mock-ups, these 3D grids, this system where you can plug in your developer mind and do your own skins or your own lightning and functionality and stuff like that. This also can be relevant, because a mock-up, a square, basically is the simplest form of the grid that you can have.
Right.
You know, like a circle, or the simplest geometrical form with no texture, no nothing. Yeah. And on top of that, you can build whatever you want. So I really hope.
So we're talking about some phase three elements here. So let's talk about the proposed phase three video from Nathaniel. He mentioned recently in Gen Chat that he's still working on it, that he's taking his time with it because it needs to be done right. And I told him, I'm like, you realize this is the most important video you're ever going to release on Earth 2, because this is something that people are going to look at as far as phase three functionality goes. I go, make sure you get this right. It's so important. You agree with that, Catalin?
Yeah, I think it's important for them, considering also the context and the everything that happened with the last video, the buggy video, where conversations were around, it is just a video, it is not a game footage. It's
right, just has assets, yeah.
Yes. And I think that, and I want to highlight this again, people didn't understood correctly what they are building in the phase three, because they are not building the something on Unity. Like you use, I don't know, you use a software to create something with what that software provides to you. And I think they modified, so they changed Unity to be able to build what they are building. So the next video should be very well put together and explained to, so these questions that appeared with the last round of videos should not be in the discussion. So
right, and the thing this will do is it'll buy them time.
If they have
this video out, people can refer to it, and the development team can focus on what they need to get done rather than always having to answer critics' questions.
Also, there is also the matter of secrecy and the confidentiality around what they're doing. If you look to the website, they have about the mobile app, they say it's confidential. They don't say it's work in progress or we'll get to it in 5 years or something. It's confidential. And this also makes me think that the level of details that Nathaniel can put in the video to explain how mathematics works in the what he's doing there, it's also important, because if he's limited in giving these details, he might not accomplish the self-explanatory video that will clear all the mystery around what they are doing and leave them work in silence. And yeah, so it's sensitive, and it could be the most important release, because it can also be a content source for all the content creators. People yeah. can pick up on that and write about, oh my God, look what these guys are doing. It's amazing. It's look at this. And also, and
it'll also be marketing.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, if they put something out that blows people away, that's going to get people to come rather than get people to leave.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a sales pitch for their real product, that product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that he works with the Vicarious team for the release of this. I think this yes. is something they have expertise in. He needs to send it to them, and have if they need to make it more professional, more polished, let them do that. That's what they're good at.
Yeah. 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 Because also I think they are already doing a scan on the conversations to analyze exactly what were the problems, what were the issues with the community, who said what, and stuff like that. And they will also have this research done.
Yeah.
So when this video will come, it's like, okay, let's see how we put it so these people first, the community, understands, and it's amazing, and then the public and everyone else will pick on it and write about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kangi, what are your thoughts on this phase three video? Do you think it's just as important as Catalin and I do?
I certainly think that it's important, but it's also not something that I think about a whole lot day to day, just because, you know, and I think it's a good thing there's no timeline.
Yeah.
But because there's no timeline, it's like, you know, I agree that it's very important, but it's not something that for me is top of mind with some of the website issues and phase two hopes and dreams that we've got. But I do think that because of the lack of timeline, you know, the sort of out that we had with the buggy video was, well, you know, this was thrown together to, you know, ameliorate the concerns of some scam tubers.
When all it did was add to it.
right. And there's not that out that, well, we ran out of time because we're trying to get, you know, a few people satisfied with some progress. So I do totally agree that it's, you know, I think that it's quite important to get right and really explain the more technical details of why it's relevant, which is the thing I think a lot of folks thought the buggy video lacked was, okay, well, why is this?
Yeah,
as impressive
it's touted. Yeah, and I know Nathaniel has said he's going to actually show elements of the terrain editor, like actually in process. So I think that'll be a big aspect of it too, because that's something that we're all excited to do. Snow, kind of tell me what your thoughts are on the proposed phase three video.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Kingy on this. I think that it is important, and they should definitely have all their ducks in a row before releasing it, not just, oh, you know, YouTubers are attacking this vision, let's put out this video real quick.
Right.
That's kind of what I think. But like Kingy said, you know, there's other things that I would rather see right now come to light than that video.
Oh,
but when
sure.
they do release it, I think that, you know, it should be 100% perfect, and what all the technical know-hows, the why behind it, everything should be in that video. So I agree on that.
Great. Well, Kathleen, it's been an excellent conversation. We do thank you for coming on. Is there anything you want to promote or add before we wrap things up today?
Join AGV.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
That's all you need.
All right. And we'll go ahead and put a link to AGV in the show notes. So we do appreciate you coming on the show. Snoke, anything to add? Oh, absolutely. Snoke, anything to add?
Make sure you like, comment, and share this video.
Yep, absolutely. Kangi?
I don't have a whole lot to add. Thank you very much for being on the show, Catalin. I hope we have you again in the future for a little bit more of a news-heavy update than we had this time. But
hey,
sure.
We can make content out of anything. All right, so that has been the My Name is Human, Earth2.io podcast, brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. Hazy out.
Kangi out.
Snoke out.
Catalin out.